Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Good morning, everyone. Giving people time to come online. Wanted to remind you, everyone, to share. Press the share button. Whether you're watching this live or on a recorded basis, press the share button so you can become, so we can expand the good news, reach people, you know, beyond just our group here. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. We have a new year here, and I start. Hey, Peter. Good morning. Got to go for a motorcycle ride yesterday with Cindy and meet my sons for some pauhana, as we say in Hawaii. We had happy hour basically together. Had a really great day yesterday. You're gonna have a great year. So I just finished an article. I'm not sure when we're gonna publish it. It's a blog on physical fitness. It's time for our New Year's resolutions, and I think it's a good practice to resolve to do things from the outside in. Sometimes you can develop a personal spiritual discipline by starting with a physical discipline. We know that in the Catholic Church we have a history of an ascetic life. So I'm just proposing a new approach to ascetic living, getting our daily workouts in, our cardio, our strength training, our flexibility training, our eating regimen, our sleeping regimen, and things like that. So I think that I'd like to hear from each of you. What is your New Year's resolution this year? Didn't really get to do that yesterday. But beautiful day here. As you can see, I'm not wearing a jacket. I got to surf with my sons. Shane and Josh came down yesterday and we surfed. Just a beautiful day. So we're looking at the catechism, and we're at paragraph 105. We're talking about the inspiration and truth of sacred scripture. And the catechism is really clear about it. God is the author of sacred scripture. Does that mean that God dictated word for word what's in the Bible? No. But through divine inspiration, every word in here is inspired, which is the word, it means inspire. The word spire means breath. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but there truly was a human author and a true living experience. And he brought his living experiences, his culture, and his life to the writing. But the Word of God is, God is the author. He is the one who inspired scripture. Oh, so Pat, I see now your New Year's resolution is to listen to God more. That's awesome. I wonder how you'll go about spending that time, how you'll make that happen. I remember once I sat, and I guess I did. Between the time when I left the New York bank and began my own CPA practice, I spent 6 weeks of reading scriptures from the beginning, from New Testament, all through the Old Testament, and back to the New Testament again. And one of the biggest things that I got from that reading was God saying, my people don't listen. So that's a great thing to say. But of course, we learn hearing comes by the Word of God. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So one of the best ways to listen to God is to read Scripture. It's a two-way dialogue. This is his love letter. God is the author. Hey, Mark. Hey, Dan. Aloha. Hey, Tony. God is the author of sacred scripture, the divinely revealed realities. This is from Dei Verbum again. It's a really great book you should read from, I believe, the Vatican Council. It's a very great, really good book. God is the author of sacred scripture, the divinely revealed realities which are contained and presented in the text of sacred scripture have been written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God breathed. Again from Dei Verbum. It's just a little booklet. You can buy them on Amazon. It was required reading when I was taking my theological studies at Steubenville. For Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the apostolic age, accepts as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and the New Testaments, whole and entire, with all their parts, on the grounds that, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author and have been handed on as such to the church herself. It's so interesting to go to meet with certain people, and they'll tell me, well, I go to a Bible-believing church, as if to say the Catholic Church is not a Bible-believing church, and yet we're the ones who brought the Bible to the world. We're the ones that canonized the Old Testament and the New Testament, decided what the table of contents would be. And we believe that we hold true, totally true to the Bible. That's our goal. We're the ones that brought the Bible. But we also have a, we don't pull things out of context. We read Scripture within the entire context of Scripture. So many people will find two or three key Bible verses, pull them out of the context of the entire Scripture, and kind of go on some sort of tangent. Catholic Church is a Bible-believing church. We have more Bible read every Sunday than any place else in the world, because we, a lot of times people are teaching from Scripture, but they're just pulling one kind of randomly, or not randomly, they're pulling something from a certain passage here, a certain passage there. But in the Catholic Church, in a 3-year period of time, we go through almost the entire Bible during Mass, if you go to Mass every day. So we have a lot of Scripture. Of course, most of the Mass is Scripture too. God inspired the human authors of the sacred books to compose the sacred books. Remember, the Bible isn't a book, it's really a library. God chose certain men who, all the while he employed them in this task, made full use of their own faculties and powers, so that he acted in them and by them. It was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever he wanted written, and no more. So they were actual authors, but what they wrote was inspired, not dictated, but inspired. So whatever they wrote was what God intended, and no more. So that's really cool, Peter. The Catholic One-Year Bible, maybe you can send me post that to the Man Cave, because several people have asked me for a 1-year reading program. So why don't you post that to me so I can post it out to people who have been asking me. And to drop 20 pounds, yeah, me too. My 20 pounds battle again. I've been dropping weight. I've been on my keto regimen. My challenge is, I'm used to being in Hawaii, where I work out every day very easily. You know, I get my 3-mile paddle and my 10,000 steps in, but here I don't do that. And then I find out there's a cumulative effect. Sometimes I can't do that because of weather. And so we're definitely back on the keto regimen again after the holidays. So yeah, send me that link. Maybe you can post it here, but also post it to the Man Cave. Okay. So that's a very key sentence right there. How was the Bible written? It wasn't like God dictated Scripture. Yeah, that's right, Mark. So it's not like that God dictated Scripture. It's that he inspired men to write what he wanted written. But the humans were actually true authors using their faculties and powers. But God acted. So I'm going to read it again. To compose the sacred books, God chose certain men who all the while he employed them in this task, made full use of their own faculties and powers, so that though he acted in them and by them, it was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever he wanted written, and no more. Hey Martha, it was good to be with you and your son Paul the other day. Aloha. The inspired books teach the truth. Since therefore all that the inspired authors or sacred writers affirm should be regarded as affirmed by the Holy Spirit. And that is why the Catholic Church doesn't change doctrine, doesn't change moral teaching. It's gotten us in the crossfire these days, hasn't it? But we have to stay our ground. We have to stay true to the teaching of the Church. The teaching of the Church doesn't change. Since therefore all the all that the inspired authors or sacred writers affirm should be regarded as affirmed by the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge that the books of Scripture firmly, faithfully, and without error teach that truth, which God, for the sake of our salvation, wished to see confided in the sacred Scriptures. Again, that's Dei Verbum, Word of God. Still, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. This is very important. For example, Islam is a religion of the book. Christianity is the religion of the Word, the capital W, that means the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity is the religion of the Word of God, a Word which is not a written and mute Word, but the Word which is incarnate and living. That's Saint Bernard. Read this again, it's really important. Still, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Christianity is the religion of the Word of God, a Word which is not a written and mute Word, but the Word which is incarnate and living. Remember, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Handle it carefully. If the Scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal Word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the Scriptures. So, how often in our daily reading, when we're reading Scripture, does something just jump out at us and God is saying, I'm talking to you right now, I'm talking to you through my love letter, I'm underlining this. Sometimes you're reading and just words just jump out. I had an experience like that with Mark Cobb the other day. He was talking about how he was reading the Scriptures of the Annunciation to Zechariah, that he and Elizabeth would have a son, and he called John the Baptist, and Zechariah was like, I'm not so sure about this. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, I stand before the throne of God, and I have a message for you. And those words to Mark just jumped off the page. I am Gabriel, I stand before the throne, I stand before God, I've come with a message for you. And God was telling him, you got to know who you are, where you stand, and what your purpose is. So that was a kind of the logos of God becoming the rhema of God, the spoken word of God, the historical word of God becoming the living word of God in his life at that moment. So as you read, there'll definitely be moments when Scripture is just going to just leap out at you. I know my dad, when he first was baptized in the Spirit, his favorite saying was, and wow, let me read this to you. You know, it was just like he was getting pummeled by Scripture just being so... By the revelation. So Tyndale House is a Catholic Bible. I guess Peter, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Beautiful. I know it's a Protestant publishing house, but they're published a Catholic Bible. That's pretty cool. Okay. In paragraph 109, in sacred Scripture, God speaks to man in a human way. To interpret Scripture correctly, the reader must be attentive to what the human authors truly wanted to affirm and to what God wanted to reveal to us by their words. So, for example, I think I mentioned this the other day, in the book of Revelations, it talks about John, who received the revelation, and I've been there in the cave where he received his revelation. He talks about how we will be given a white stone with our new name written on it. What does that mean? Well, in John's time, that area of the world, if you were a Christian, you were being persecuted by Rome, and you were not allowed to enter into any trade agreements or buy or sell unless you had a stone that had written on it, and usually it was a brown or darker stone, that had written on it the day that you made sacrifice to emperor worship, worshiping the emperor as a god. You didn't have that stone, you couldn't buy or sell. Well, so now you understand, okay, that's why there's the white stone. The white stone is writing to those seven churches in that area that are being affected in that way. That's why the white stone. There's still a bit of a mystery as to what the new name means. But you have to understand, to read scripture, it's really good to understand history, what was going on during that time. If you really want to become a student of history, the best series of books I can recommend is by Warren Carroll on Christendom. It's incredible, and it starts out before, you know, hundreds of years leading up to Jesus, and then all the way through to about the 1970s. So it's powerful. I think it's a 6-volume set. Okay, see Peter, he's looking for the imprimatur of a bishop to ensure himself that that book is considered consistent with Catholic faith. My book, Deep in the Wave, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, it was published by Hachette, the hottest publisher in the world at the time it was published, but it was a secular company, so I made sure I had my bishop's imprimatur on it. My second book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, was published by a Catholic publishing house, and I felt like people know Franciscan media, and I didn't go bother the bishop for that, but I think it's really important that we read things consistent with Catholic teaching, especially the Bible. In sacred scripture, God speaks to man in a human way. To interpret scripture correctly, the reader must be attentive to what the human authors truly wanted to affirm and to what God wanted to reveal to us by their words. I'm going to let you guys enjoy a beautiful, peaceful morning. Thank you, Peter, for your own personal strength. When you're around Peter, there's a personal strength about him that he doesn't try to exude, but there's a confidence. There's a physical stature and strength, too. But there's a confidence in that he knows who he is, what he's about, and what he stands for. And it's kind of that sort of gift, that sort of, it is the thing that you want to see in a man, especially in his realm as a father and a leader. Is being around him, you just feel, I think people feel a sense of safety and rightness. And thank you for Peter for being part of our ministry. I'll let you guys enjoy the sunrise a little bit. So interesting, out in the ocean, you know, there's lots going on out there. There's the rising and the falling tide based on the moon. There's ground swells coming from thousands of miles away, from distant storms, sometimes as far away as towards the Antarctic, or as far away as way up there by the Arctic area. You have wind swells that are caused by local wind. That's what we're seeing here today. There's some waves, but it's pretty much by wind within a fetch of about 200 or 300 miles. And then there's currents wind currents. Yesterday you could see the wind current moving from the north to the south. Today you see the currents moving from the south to the north. And that's why the Lord said, don't be thrown about by every wind of doctrine, but study the Word and let the Catholic Church help you understand it. See you guys on Monday, I guess already. It's a Friday, I think. God bless you all. Thank you for your faithfulness. Hey, Raymond. Aloha. Good to see you, brother. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ha'oli makahiki ho. Happy New Year.
Hey, man. I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.